Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer. Much like Eber Eze, I'm back, baby. So, joining me today, we have Marky Werner up in Queensland. How are you, Mark?
Good, mate. Good to be here and see your smiling faces on this Zoom chat. Good to have yourself and Dale safe and back in the country and from your jaunts overseas. All look very good on the socials and whatnot.
It was very good indeed. And speaking of Dale, our COVID-ridden brethren down in the Shire, how are you, mate?
Well, for starters, it's Sunday. What are we doing on a Sunday? Secondly, I do have COVID. And thirdly, yeah, I still need to transfer your money for semi-final tickets.
So, yeah, you do. Thanks for reminding me, because I completely forgot about that. Anyway.
Yeah, I will do it. Otherwise, I'm okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, $1,000. $1,000. And Ned down in... It must be freezing in Melbourne now, is it?
It is absolutely freezing. That is an accurate comment. No, I'm all good. That's, already missing Tony's hosting skills, but, I guess you'll have to do Rob. Welcome back.
Oh, come on. I mean, so early. So early.
I know, you got to get started early, mate. Set the tone for the pod.
Man, well, that hurts. I was gonna big you up about how much work you've put into the Palace in our stuff and all that. Well, that's gone by the wayside immediately. Well, lovely. Anyway, look, delighted to be back, fellas. Good to see you all. And we're going to start with what every other podcast or football podcast of their team are doing. We're going to do a little season review of Palace, really. So I'll come straight to Dale so he can chat and then put himself on mute if he wants to. Obviously the season was a success. I'm not going to ask was it or not. It was. But did you see it being this good? What are your highlights from it? Like, go on, tell us about what you think of the Palace season.
Good season. We can't complain. I mean, everyone was probably a little bit apprehensive at the start of the year. New manager, after 12 first team players remaining. The manager was the third choice. Who knew what was going to come along? But ultimately, a very comfortable mid-table finish. Could have been better, but it wasn't. That's by the by. I'm sure we'll get onto it later, but just, turn the draw, some of those draws into wins, and it's a very different looking season. And the reality is, I guess, listen to all the podcasts in the know, in inverted commas, they all had us to get relegated. And it was never in doubt, was it? So, all in all, good season. You're just looking forward to next year now. You're thinking if we can be smart again with the recruitment and look to push on that next level. What that next level is, don't know, but we're good to see us kick on.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm going to throw it at you now. So apologies, I didn't put it in the run sheet, so I know we shouldn't really include it. But, I mean, we'll stay with you, Dale, and like, boys, you can answer it as we go along. But what do you hope for next season? What do you think that couple of missing links are that kind of that could push us on to, as you say, that next level? What do you think we need?
Well, the obvious one is just a consistent goal scorer. But you see people on social media and radio phone and saying, oh, we need someone who's going to score us 15, 20 goals. What? So you want Harry Kane or Sadio Mane or Salah or someone? If we get someone like that, they're only going to be with us one season. It's probably a fluke of a season anyway. This is someone who will chip in with those goals alongside Wilf. And you're probably just thinking to yourself, obviously, the kind of Gallagher replacement. We don't know what's going to happen there. That's the only thing. I think it's just about being consistent and just being together more as a team and a squad. And you'll cut out some of those errors that led to those goals in the corner defending up until halfway through the season was awful set pieces. But whatever, I mean, that can happen to a side. So it's ironing those out. And I think, I'm not one of these people who says next year should be conference league, but I don't believe in that. I think for us, it's just top 10, being very comfortable. Another cup run would be great. But they're hard enough as it is, but another cup run would be great. I appreciate that's me changing my team from earlier in the year, and I said give me the points rather than the cup run. But if we're going to be comfortable in the league, cup run is fine. So, yeah, let's see us crack that top 10 and go from there.
Absolutely. What about you, Marky Mark? What's your thoughts on it all? Including what you need, what you think we need for next season too.
Sure. So the season as a whole, obviously from the get-go and where we're at with a new manager that wasn't our first choice and was left pretty late doors to get a hold of Big Paddy V. You know, at that stage, it was just safety. You know, safety was going to be a result. And then sort of as we got down the track, we, you know, set our sights a little bit higher than that, which is fair enough, given the talent we had and the way things were panning out. So definitely a good season. You know, day out at Wembley, cup semi, managed to score a goal in the League Cup that we hadn't done since about 1996 or something. So that was nice to get that over the line and, you know, see a few shining lights along the way.
Did we score in the League Cup? Sorry to cut you off. Did we score in the League Cup? I think we lost 1-0 to Watford. We didn't score a cup going to the FA Cup, I believe.
Didn't we score a League Cup goal? I thought that was a bit of hoopla.
We'll come back to that. Carry on.
Mate, such is my research, Rob. I just assumed that we had.
That's it.
I thought we did. But in any case, lots of shining light, mate, with, you know, a couple of our lads getting into the national team. Gallagher, albeit alone, you know, that was fantastic and was fun to get behind while he was here. We saw Mitchell come on, Gay here, you know, so it was good. Pockets of business all over the park and certainly setting us up for an enticing season next season. There's a lot to be happy about. We kind of just sort of stuttered a little bit towards the end, I think, but all in all, you know, such is the case with us. If you had said, you know, start of the season, this many points and wins and positive goal difference, you'd be having that all day long. So, yeah, it was good. I think probably next season it's not ridiculous to think, you know, top half finish. I mean, up to the penultimate round of this season, that was still on the card. So, you know, top half, maybe sneak into a bloody Europa conference spot. Do we dare to dream? Have we all got our passports? I do. We'll see, but good. Yeah, pretty happy with it, mate. I think, you know, that's a general consensus. It was a good watch. A new brand of football, a more exciting brand of football. Roy Ball had a job to do and it did that job, but wasn't always that easy on the eye. So yeah, here we are. Exciting.
Mate, that new brand of football was heart-stopping at times. And the start of the season when we were passing it around the back, we had no idea as a supporter, what was going on. Jesus.
Yeah.
It was good, though. Good fun. And I did check there, Mark, and we didn't score a League Cup goal.
Yeah, well, that's just highlighted my research that I put into this podcast.
Be better. Just be better.
Sorry, mate. Drop the ball already. First hit out.
That's
first
it.
Carry.
Tony wouldn't be that unkind to you, Mark.
Thanks, mate.
And now we come to the waste of space in Melbourne. Come on in, mate.
A bit rough.
It was good. I think the only frustrating part about the season was probably the fact that I think you just look at how many games, particularly early on, we dropped those late points and you sort of look at the table and go, where could we have ended up if you just had that little bit more luck here and there or a little bit more composure here and there? Because, you know, there were certainly times where we sort of really threatened to push into that top half of the league and, you know, I guess that's probably me just being overly excitable. But I think, yeah, we definitely, I mean, some of the football was fantastic. Being able to, you know, it's quite nice to sit there and say we're the only team this season that Manchester City couldn't pop a goal past. It's quite nice. But, yeah, I think it's just a case of looking upwards and going, well, you know, what could have been this year and hopefully being able to build on it next year. There's some really, really exciting players at the club. You know, there's some, you know, the brand of football that we're playing is entertaining. It's somewhat successful so far for us. Onwards and upwards. Hopefully it's a case of this is just the beginning and we don't end up with the sort of second season syndrome of of a new style next year. But yeah, no, positives from me.
Yeah,
which means I agree with Rob, and I don't like.
I know. But what do you reckon then, Ned? In your opinion, do we need to kind of take that next step for next season to avoid, as you say, that second? I don't think we're going to do it with the players we've got, but I see where you're coming from. But to avoid that, you know, second season syndrome with Vieira in there,
I think it's just a case of, you know, not getting ahead of ourselves, and the players not getting ahead of themselves, and going, look, okay, yeah, we had some good results last year. You know, it's good to go into the next season with that confidence, as long as it's not overconfidence. I think, you know, we've got to be smart again in the transfer window, and just bring in players that are going to fill the holes and make a difference to what we need to do, which I think we did really well at the start of the season. We identified areas that we were lacking, and we brought in players to fill those areas. So I think if we can do that again, that would be fantastic. Don't just go out and, I think, as much as I hate to say it, someone like a Gallagher, I can't see us getting a Gallagher in a deal that is good for us. I mean, how many players have we had that have come in on loan, been fantastic, and then we've gone and absolutely thrown wage budgets out the window, and, you know, they get injured or just aren't quite the player that we were hoping they would be. I'm not suggesting that would be the case with Gallagher, as it was with Sacco, though Dallas. On a completely serious note, in terms of, I think we've got to be careful with that. I think Gallagher is not going to be the player that we are going to be able to get. If we did get him, we would have to spend way too much money, and we could probably improve our squad as a team much better if we were to spend that on two or three players elsewhere, because you then also get more of a team sort of harmony in that group, because you don't have everyone going, oh, well, there's that one guy who's on $400 billion more than us. And you end up with a bunch of players who are playing for each other, which we had this year, and hopefully we will have again next year.
Yeah, I think you are absolutely spot on with regarding Gallagher. I mean, every Palace fan wants him to come back. We'd all love him to come back. I mean, the rest of the Premier League have seen how good he is playing in a certain way. So you got teams like Newcastle that, if he did come on the market, Newcastle just throw stupid money at Chelsea, and we can't compete with that. Then wage demand. So I absolutely, Ned, with regards to that. But I've never been more confident in our recruitment than I am right now, considering what they just did in that massive turnover last year. That was no easy job, and the way the Vieira's handled it all was fantastic. As we all know, he wasn't first choice. He knew he wasn't first choice, but the way he's come in, embraced the club, embraced what we're about. You see the videos that goes on Palace player, and, you know, just the way he is with the players, the staff, and everything about the club, the way he speaks. I think he's been a superb appointment. But for 20 seconds of football, we'd finish eighth. You know, if you take the Brighton scoring with the last kick of the game and Arsenal scoring with the last kick of the game, we dropped 4 points. Those 4 points would have put us eighth if we held on to those two wins. So, superb season. Absolutely superb, to be honest with you. And I can't say any more than what's already been said. And so I'm not going to be honest with you. Right. Big things happening. Big, big things happening. Possibly the biggest thing to happen to Palace ever. They come into Australia. So, I'm now going to hand this one over to you, Ned, because you're the one that's been doing a lot of the work around this. So, we're all very excited. We will have our tickets, and very kindly, I think, of a 100,000 seat stadium, they gave us 1,000 tickets, the Palace fans. So, you know, 99,000 people that don't have a clue about football will be there, and us. But yeah, so there's lots of, so this is one for anyone that's listening, please listen in. We are trying to get some stuff happening. There will be lots of things happening in Melbourne, with type of events and stuff like that. It's going to be the national meetup. Ned and Tony especially have put in a lot of work here. Dale's happy to buy anyone's tickets that haven't got one yet anyway. So look, Ned, throw it over to you. Tell everyone what's going on, what we hope to happen, and what might be happening as more news breaks.
Yes, so Tony and I have been in touch with the club. We've been really good in terms of getting in contact with us and sharing a whole bit of information in terms of what they're going to do. So obviously we've got our national meetup going on. There's a few venues and so on to be confirmed. We've got a bit of a rough itinerary sorted that we'll throw out here and we'll pop up on our socials as well and into that national meetup Facebook event. If you haven't joined that, please do, because that's where we'll throw all of those details rather than posting them 19 times in 413 different Facebook groups. Just join that if you're coming. It will be make it much easier. So basically, I think for anyone who's coming down on the Friday night, but before the Tuesday game, we'll look to sort out a venue to have a look at the Liverpool game from Singapore. As I say, venue to be confirmed on that. Got an idea, but I don't really want to go naming unconfirmed venues at this stage. But we'll definitely sort something out for that Friday night for those that are in town. Saturday, I think we're obviously expecting a few tourists and people from overseas, so got the opportunity to have a test drive of the MCG on Saturday night and pop in for an AFL game. I think Geelong versus Carlton on the Saturday night. There's no other real football unless we want to go to the circus twice in a row to see the other Manchester United game, which I don't think anyone wants to do. A, given the ticket prices, and B, given the circus around them that it will be. So Geelong versus Carlton in the AFL on the Saturday night with a few drinks beforehand. We'll probably leave the day for some unofficial stuff. I think it's going to be a fairly hectic weekend, so there'll be a few people who just want to get around and have a look at Melbourne. If you do want to hang out with Palace fans, I'm sure we will be able to arrange some stuff there. Sunday, we're just looking at probably heading off to a local brewery, settle ourselves in for a little bit, have a few beverages. We'll try and make that somewhere that will allow kids in as well if people are bringing the little ones as well. So obviously got the AFL's family friendly too. So we're going to try and make some stuff that will be available for those that are bringing their kids. The team will be arriving around about that time. So Monday is when all the official fun stuff kicks off. So the club's told us that there will be an open training session on the Monday, probably in the morning. Venue to be confirmed, but I would suggest that will be very much in the vicinity of the MCG, Richmond sort of area. And they'll be having a meet and greet on Monday night with a number of the players. I do know the venue for that. It is Central Melbourne. The club hasn't 100% confirmed it yet, so I will let them do that. But it's a good venue. It's central, very easy to access, and sort of, multi-level. So there'll be plenty of space for the opportunity to go and meet some players. Names have not been shared at this stage, but I assume it'll be whoever fancies it on the Monday night. And then obviously Tuesday, we've sorted out a pre-game pub in Holiava, which is basically one of the closest pubs to the MCG. So you jump straight off at Richmond Station and it is literally across the road. So very much a nice convenient spot there. And then obviously onto the game for Tuesday night. So more stuff to come. Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing lots and lots of red and blue. There's loads of people that have been sort of helping out with that. So looking forward to, being able to get involved and have some fun.
Awesome. And we highly encourage anyone that's thinking about coming down to do it. This is, as Ned said, this is going to be kind of our national meetup. If you know on the off chance that someone's decided to take a holiday in Australia and follow Palace to Australia, one, they're nuts to fly all this way to watch two friendlies. But two, please let them know as well. As Ned said, we'd love to see as many Palace fans in there as possible. There's a lot of organising going on. The club are in constant communication with us, which is they've been fantastic to try and get access to players and get stuff going. And Steve Parrish even met us when he came out here all those years ago. So the club have always been good to us. So it would be fantastic to see as many people down in Melbourne as humanly possible. So everything kicks off on the Friday. The game's obviously the Tuesday, but everything's kicking off on the Friday before that. So get yourself down, have a weekend in Melbourne. If you don't want to do all the things, don't feel like you have to do everything. If you do want to just go and have a couple of days in Melbourne, like do the player meet on the Monday and meet the guys on a Saturday.
Like you, just turning up on
Tuesday. I'm turning up on Tuesday, exactly. I'm turning up on the Tuesday and I'm worker paying for it as well. So that's a win.
Did they know that?
Yes.
Claiming your match ticket on tax as well, Rob?
I'm not sure how that's going to go down. I might say I'm entertaining a customer. I'm going to see if I can get that one through. But yeah, if I can't...
Without wanting, not just on tickets, without wanting to go full Dale, if there is anyone who is struggling to get one, I think there's still some on sale, but if there is anyone that's struggling to get some, not free tickets, but if you are struggling, do feel free to shoot a message through. The club's also said if there's anyone who's a proper Palace fan that is struggling to get tickets to let them know, and they can try and work something out. So I think I've still got a couple of spares as well. So if you are desperately needing tickets, as I say, we're not, unless Dale's shouting him, which I know he said he was very generously going to do. but I'm happy to open it up now because I'm pretty sure 99% of people have already bought them. So I'm happy to be nice and help out the other 1% if there's anyone struggling.
Perfect. So if the reason you're not coming is because you don't have a ticket, you didn't think you can get a ticket, well, you should be able to get a ticket. So as I said, it'll be a great weekend. It'll be an even better Tuesday because I will be arriving then. I have a client lunch then, and then I'm straight.
Quite lunch at the late lunch at the MCG.
Quite lunch at Holyava.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So I'll be taking the client out for lunch, and then I will go straight from there on. So it's just gonna be a long ass day. I'm up at 5:30 to get the flight down. So,
looking forward to it. Two boys, exactly, Dale. The party continues. Post MCG over to the west, heading over to Perth to play Leeds at the fantastic, fairly new Optus Stadium over there. I know there's a few lads, not everyone, but a few going across there, and obviously rendezvousing with Colin Morgan and co over there that are going to do a similar hosting scenario to yourself, Ned, and the Melbourne supporters group. So, again, all those details on all the socials, so get a hold of that. Also, folks, if you're travelling, you're doing the full tour, we've got a guy from Brizzy who's going up to Singapore and is doing all three. Pete Edwards, good luck to him. So we'll see. She's a hell of a round trip as it is just doing the two here in Australia. But, yeah, it should be a good meet, and there'll be lots of details about the run in the West coming up as well. And then, yeah, anyone without a ticket, Dale, care of Exiled Eagles.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely, Mark. That was remiss of me not to mention Perth, but absolutely get yourselves over to Perth as well. I believe
the Leederville Hotel on the Thursday night in Perth is the Perth meet and greet equivalent. So if you're over that way, I'm sure that if that is incorrect, the WA-based listeners will let us know. But I believe Leederville on the Thursday night, and then also the game on the Friday.
Yeah, awesome. Well, what we'll do is we'll get all that confirmed for everyone, and then we can kind of put that in the national meetup group on Facebook as well. Like, give the Melbourne itinerary, and then we'll give the Perth itinerary too. So it's just one place for everyone. Everyone needs to go. Very exciting times. Very exciting times indeed. Okay, fellas, that covered. But any questions regarding Palace and Oz, just drop us a message. We'll be more than happy to help out. All right, so now we're going to go, and we're going to do Palace and we're going to do non-Palace. I want to hear your good, your bad, and your ugly for the season. And so we'll start with the Palace one, and then you do your non-Palace one, but you're going to do both in the one hit. So I'm going to go to Ned first. What's your good, bad, and ugly for the season for Palace, and then your good, bad, and ugly for the season for non-Palace, just football in general?
All right. As you can tell, I've highly prepared for this. I put all of
We are coming across so well.
Yes, absolutely. I've been very busy with all of the other stuff. But no, so good. I think just in terms of from Palace, I think just in terms of our full rebuild this year, to be able to turn around all of the players and playing style and everything that we've done without actually having to go backwards from a league position perspective is definitely going to be my good. The bad, I don't know what, didn't know whether to put this in. No, I'll save it for ugly. The bad, let's, I'm just going to have to go with that last second Brighton equaliser. I can't get it out of my head. And the ugly has got to be the Wilf penalty against, was it Norwich?
Yes.
Oh, nicked one of mine. All right.
I don't think it gets much uglier than that. That was as ugly as it gets.
I'm just glad I got a mench.
Yeah, I think it might get a couple of mentions. I mean, in fairness, you could have done good, bad, and ugly, or just on Wilf in that that 2 minutes.
totally.
Because he scored an absolute screamer that everyone's already forgotten about. But yeah, so that would be my good, bad, and ugly for Palace. Football generally, I mean, let's be honest, I'm going to say good, just really, it's not good at all, but I just want to wind Rob up. I thought the standard of officiating this season was superb.
see playoff final.
I mean, but yeah, absolutely, no. Good football-wise, I think it was for me, just from a Premier League perspective, I think it was a good, entertaining season in terms of it was close right the way through, apart from the top, but it basically, there was every, I think the last game of the season, there was what, two dead rubbers, and every other game had something on the line, which is what you want to see in a league table. You don't want to be having a season where it just ends up and there's nothing particularly exciting happening. Bad, I don't know, just generally, yeah, I can't think of anything, Rob. Officials are too good. And the ugly, yeah, I've got very little. I'm just too positive today, Rob. I can't give you bad and ugly.
My God. Let's move swiftly on then, immediately. You good to go, Dale, or do you want to have a moment? Yeah, good to go.
All right, back.
All right. I'll start with football generally. The ugly was the nonsense we saw at the end of the season, all these pitch invasions. That's bad and ugly. Absolutely stupid. And, you know, I don't think it's over dramatic to say that a footballer is going to get very hurt. What's to stop somebody running on with a knife or something, whatever? And that's good. And the good will be Liverpool not winning the league as a whole. I'll take that. I'm very happy with that. Couldn't stand seeing that smug Klopp's face anymore, and celebrating their two tin pot trophies like they just
did. You, I don't know, see the stat cancer on that? They won two cups, they didn't score in either final. They won two cups, but they didn't score in any of them. They won them both on penalties. They drew 0-0, 0-0, and won the cup.
It just annoys me anyway. Palace, yeah, the good is obviously, not just the season, but the way we came together as a team, and I'll probably say the emergence of Mark Gerhey as a international centre-back and a captain. I appreciate there's a hierarchy at the club. I would just give him the captain's armband and say, you're our captain for the next 10 years. England under 21 captain, and when he played against Kane at the start of the season, even the first team captain, absolutely made him look like a mug. So that's probably my good. The bad, I'm not going to go with the penalty miss against Norwich from Wilf. I'm going to go with his stupid celebration against Leicester, where he basically wanted to fight everybody and waste all this time when, mate, you might have just scored a penalty after a retake, but we're still losing, so come on, bring it back. And the ugly, I'm just going to say this, the turnstiles getting into Selhurst Park. I mean, Jesus Christ, they are narrow. I'm 6'1". I'm a fairly big guy, but there's a lot bigger than me. I don't know how they get into that stadium. So, that'd be my ones.
Would it be safe to say, Dale, that perhaps those turnstiles have gotten smaller since your last visit?
Yeah. Yeah, I also just say about my last visit, all my bloody visits. I mean, the last four games I've been to, we haven't won and we haven't scored. So I'm going to stop that, including the two I went to just now. So I'm not going back. I got spoiled because the game before all of that, we did Newcastle 5-0. So.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Yeah, 5-0. So I won't know, but I think I'll go back for a while.
What are you marking up? Got Palace and Globe and General.
Dale's, Dale, you're going over to Perth for the Perth game, Perth Leeds.
It's debatable at the moment.
That's a no.
All right.
Well, no, I've been told I can go, but you know, it's
yeah. No, I know how that Venus flytrap works. So, well, you've heard it here first, mate. We're definitely not fucking scoring at the MCG against Man U with Cordy in tow. So get that out of your heads. So Rob, good, bad, ugly, non-Palace, and then Palace, is that the
whichever format? Way you want to go, it's up to you.
I'll go just sort of the greater football world then. Good, I thought Leeds staying up and staying in the league. You know, they're a team that I think everyone was happy to have around and in the league and a big club. You know, myself, I'm happy for them to have staved off relegation by some fairly small margins in the end and staying up in the league. And, of course, that gets to mean we play a fellow Premier League team over in Perth on a championship side. So did have some spin-offs for us. Bad was Everton staying up. Man, we were having them on toast there, and I think they hadn't been relegated in 71 years or something like that. So it was a just for historical value, which would have been good to send them down. And yeah, we bottled that. So that was my bad and then ugly. Yeah, I couldn't go past Everton again with that pitch invasion a couple times. Absolutely just disgusting scenes, and you know, blokes running at Mitchell with the flare and obviously racial slurs at Wilf that was muted by that fucking peanut that filmed himself and thought he was all out in a bag of chips. And then I even saw today on something unrelated, it wasn't even Palace, was a clip from that game. Anderson runs over to get a ball to be thrown in or something, and there's a woman there giving him a whack on the ass. Now, there's nothing in it, but no frigging punter should be laying a finger or fingernail on any player at any game, regardless of intent. So, you know, it was shitty before the pitch invasions there. And then, yeah, that was just real ugly scenes at the end, hence that making my ugly for the segment. Palace-wise, a couple of these have been nicked or mentioned at the moment. So for my good, I'm going to go with... again, an Everton theme. Patrick Vieira giving old mate a bit of a slap and a kick. I thought that was awesome. Fuck him. He thought he was, you know, Johnny Big Bollocks going up and getting in his face and absolutely just shit his pants when Big Pat was having none of it. So I thought that was pretty cool and good of the FA or police to not lay charges on that. I knew they'd look into it, but they had to say they were going to look into it. They couldn't just let it go. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. Bad, Luka Milivojevic's form just went off a cliff. I know, you know, unfortunately the passing of his father on the eve of the season starting or sort of 48 hours prior. So, you know, I think we'll give him a pass for a little bit, but he just never got out of first gear, really. Yeah, that was it from a guy who came in and had so much promise and was looking the goods, just really went off a bit of a cliff this season. And also with Luka, the booing of him at the awards night, put that in ugly as well. That's fucking really poor. That's really poor. What was going to be achieved by that? What was he going to turn and go, oh, you're right, and like scurry out of the building? Like, that's, come on, man. And that's Palace people there. That's... Yeah, I was incredibly sad and angry to hear that had happened. Might all be thinking it has a decent season, but fuck, you're doing booing him at an awards night. Like, that's completely out of order, in my opinion. So Luka double dipping on the bad there. And the ugly, I had Will Smith's penalty against Norwich as well. Very hard to go past. Don't even recall the screamer he did score in that game. It's just all about that that missed pen and that's that, mate. So also probably footnote here, Joel Ward's renaissance this season. 10 years long, cocked up his long service leave. God bless him. Filling in here, there and everywhere, left back, right back, central defence, captain armband. He does it all. No surprises. Long live Joel Ward.
Absolutely. I feel a bit sorry for Will for that. I mean, he's getting caned for that penalty and all he really did was slip. The poor bugger just slipped. It wasn't, we're not talking Jason Punchin penalty here that's still going up against Spurs. He just slipped. But anyway, all right. So my good, bad, ugly for Palace will be that the good one's going to be a selfish one anyway. But it was a great day out at Wembley. Palace fans were full voice. It's a beautiful sunny day.
Got your tickets.
I was going to say, and after Dale left the tickets at home, had to go back home to get him and come back. But that was my son's first Palace game as well. So he's yet to see Palace score as well. Thanks, Dale. That was good. I mean, just to get to a semi-final, superb. My bad is going to be Macca's injuries. I thought he was so good at the start of the season, but I feel like we've been robbed of a bit of James McArthur this year. So I'd have loved to see more of Macca, but like the injuries, the hamstring, one is out for a while, then he kind of came back, got injured again, came back, got injured again. I think he's an integral part of our team. He certainly was last year when he was playing. So would love to see more of him. And the ugly is I'm going to go on something that I saw at Wembley a little bit. Just some guys that had too much of something kind of getting into Palace scuffles. But I think if you listen to other podcasts and you look at Twitter, there's been a fair bit of inter-Palace fighting between fans at away games. No need for that. But Mark, you also mentioned about the booing of Luke. I think that kind of feels, that kind of rolls on from it. We're known as a fantastic fan base. They love covering us because of the fanatics and the constant singing and the flags, but we can't be doing that type of shit, fellas. So that's my ugly. The good, generally, as Ned said, it was a great season, I think. Lots of games. I mean, the title was wrapped up in the last 10 minutes of the season. Relegation was sorted in the last minute of the season almost when Leeds beat Brentford. European places on the final day. You don't often get final days like that. It was quite superb. The bad, it's awful, awful officiating. I mean, like, God awful. Let's just move on. Just God awful. And the ugly for me is how prevalent sports washing is in the Premier League. Chelsea, you've got it at City, and now you've got it at Newcastle. It's disgusting money that's come in from disgusting people that should be nowhere near sport. And you look at how the Chelsea fans were singing and bigging up Roman Abramovich when we were there. You look at how Newcastle fans have gone from hating Wyatt Cashley to loving the Saudi Arabian government. It is disgusting. It shouldn't be anywhere near sport, and you shouldn't have people applauding that their club have that. I mean, I know it's all big of me to say, but I would 100% not support a club that took money from people like that. I don't give a shit. I love Palace. I always love Palace. But if we were bought out by someone like that, that would be the end of me and Palace. I would follow someone else. I'd go, but I mean, Leyton Orient. They were my local club. They'll be my new club. I think it's a disgusting, disgusting thing we're seeing there. And I would love them to get out. They're not going to. But I don't want us to ever be one. If that's what it takes to get to the top four, or whatever in the Champions League, I'm happy to never see us in the Champions League. Got no interest. It's an absolute disgrace. That's my ugly. Right. Pre-season, we had these grand ideas of where Palace would be, who would be our top scorers. And now we're going to hear about how right I was. And if Dale, did you come rock bottom last year? Was it you? Or was it Marky Mark? It was you. Okay, does Dale get the wooden spoon again? Hold on to your hats, folks. We're about to find out.
Here we go.
Over to you. Alrighty.
What do you want? What do we want to start with?
The first one, I assume.
All right. So we'll start with our top scorer because that's what I've got at the top. Before that, I just want to give props to all four of us on because when we signed Patrick Vieira, every other podcast and everyone else all over socials, oh, he's never done anything, and all four of us said, look, I reckon we could do a lot worse, and I reckon he would go all right. So the four of us, we can already have one mark there. A few others, not to mention any names, Shawnee Robb, not so much. So we'll start with top scorers. Marky Mark gets the chockies here. He said, Wilf Zaha with 17, and we laughed. We laughed at you, Mark. He didn't get 17, but he got 14, and that's pretty close. It'll
probably happen again, Ned, I reckon.
So we laughed, and the rest of us, the rest of us all said Christian Benteke. Yeah. Rob said Benteke would get close to 17 goals.
Mm.
I said he would get 15 goals.
That's Dale close to 17 as well.
Yeah, Dale said Benteke, but didn't specify a number. We also had Benteke from Raj in Melbourne, Jay Hambley in Melbourne. They have 15 and 16. Vince Flynn had Benteke with 22 goals. Shawnee Robb had Benteke. And good friends of the show, Tony King and James Howland, also had Wilf Zaha. So props to Marky Mark, Tony and James for the top goal scorer points here.
I just want to jump in there. Yeah. I just remind everyone that Marky Mark said Connor Wickham would be our top goal scorer the year before. So,
oh, it's okay. We're hang on, hold your horses. We're about to go to Mark's tip for most assists here, which is not outlandish to start with. He went with Connor Gallagher, but he also said that Connor Gallagher would have 21 assists. So he was just the 18 off there. So it was
really close.
But correctly identified by the rest of us, our top assister with 5 was Michael Olise. I specified 7. Rob and Dale didn't specify numbers, but all said Olise. Vince Flynn said Zaha. Shawnee Robb said Connor Gallagher. TK said Connor Gallagher. And if we have a look, Connor Gallagher, I believe, was equal second with half the team with 3. Zaha just the 1 assist this year. He thought he'd put them in the net himself. So,
that's your game, Wilf.
Yes, just too busy scoring. So, plenty of goal involvements. Player of the season, which I don't think we actually did as an official one, but Dale decided to give us anyway. He gave us Connor Gallagher as player of the season, which was very impressive until 2 minutes later he then stated Mark Gahey was player of the season. Without actually clarifying.
Player's player of the season.
Huh?
Player of the season, Mark.
So he's given us 2. I mean, we'll give him props because both of them were probably our top 2, but just one again, not quite getting the brief of one player only.
Hold on. What are we doing here? Player, or
you're not having that.
You said player of the season, and then you forgot that you'd done it, and you did it again with a different player. That's what happened.
I've got the audio. Both of them. Were player of the season. So Connor won the fans' player of the season, and Mark, he was player's player. So I've actually got 2.
If you had specified that would have been great, but you just
forgot. Well, I got 2 from 2. Thank you.
Well, let's give it because last year he guessed Eze and then guessed the whole rest of the team.
He guessed the whole team.
And then got it wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, so the only 2 other people to give us a player of the only 2 other people to give us a player of the season were Tony King, who said Connor Gallagher. And Shawnee Robb, who said Tyrick Mitchell and also said he would be better than AWB, which, I mean, he's, you know, that's not an outlandish call. I don't know, better than AWB now, yes, better than AWB at Palace, up for debate, but not a 3 intelligent calls there. Bolter of the season. two of us did very well and 2 of us did not. Mark's bolter of the season was Tyrick Mitchell, which I think is safe to say you're on the money there. We can give you some points. Rob said Olise, happy to give you some points there. Dale said we will see something good from Jezran Rucksacki, which we did not. And I said Jeff Schlupp. So I'm going to give myself a big fat babow there as well.
Vital goals from Jeff Schlupp this season, mate.
Yeah, he did. A couple of moments of brilliance.
He did, but...
not a season's worth that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say bolter of the season there. So moving along to our next one, which was our worst of the season. I went with Luka Milivojevic, so I'm going to give myself a nice big fat tick there. Mark went with James McArthur. And to clarify with Marky Mark, he also said that, you know, I believe he said age and injuries were going to catch up with him as part of why you said he was going to be the worst. So I think you've turned your form from last year around, Mark. on fire this time. And Rob and Dale both went with Jean-Philippe Mateta, who I think we would all probably argue actually kind of came good. So I can't give you marks for that one. Finishing position. Jeremy Williams and I will take the chocolates here. Both of us, the only two people to say 12th. I did say on goal difference, but it wasn't. But 12th was correct. Mark, 14th. Dale, 15th. Rob, 14th, but we'll be happier about it than last year. So, I mean, I assume you're happier about the second part. Vince Flynn, 16th. Ross Phillips said 17th. Jay Hambley, 13th. Chris Moss, 15th with a dodgy start. Shawnee Robb I'll come back to this because it's very entertaining. TK said, Tony said 16th, and James Howland just said shit start and then finished the same as usual. Shawnee Robb's tip has one genius element to it and one fairly comical element. He said that we would finish 17th. We would beat United 3-2 on the last day of the season. So we beat United by a goal on the last day of the season to stay up. But he also said that would cost Manchester United the league title, which... Yeah,
nice. Well off there.
Yeah. That's an ugly end.
Okay. While we're on laughing at Shawnee Robb's tips, most bookings, he said Kouyaté, because he's shite and will be found out. Most bookings was quite clearly Conor Gallagher by a lot. Biggest sulker, he said, Wilf will beat IU to that award as he finally realizes there's better youngsters at the club than him. I mean, probably. I mean, don't know if it's, you know, there's too many better players, but I think sulker, Wilf over IU is probably not too bad. The outlandish predictions, and this is where Rob Seltzer is going to get big marks here. But we'll start with Mark. Luka to leave in January. I mean, mentally maybe, but...
I remember the other half of this. Go on.
Yes. We were going to get to the semi-final of the League Cup and be eliminated by Middlesbrough. But the main part of that prediction was that we would get in the last minute of injury time in the League Cup quarter-final, Jay Rich Bagaloo was going to come off the bench and score the winner to take a 4-3 victory against Newport County. Unfortunately, Mark, it was close.
It would have been good to see.
Okay. Dale, wonderful prediction here. Wilfred Zaha not to score or assist more than 6.
Well, it's standard Wilf hate.
Any comments to make, Dale?
In one game, to be fair.
Assisted only once, so you know, takes his penalties away from it, and he's probably pretty close to 6 anyway.
If I ever get in trouble, I want Dale as my lawyer. I will hire Dale as my lawyer.
Well, Rob, you're not going to be in trouble because you made 2 outlandish predictions and you were 100% spot on with both.
There we go.
Well, one of them hasn't happened yet, but it's set to happen. Dale to attend the national meetup. Tickets are booked. It's coming.
Just so you know, I haven't got flights yet.
Pending.
And second, Crystal Palace to make the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Oh, hello.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How about that?
That's pretty good. So, on to me. I said we would make the semi-final of A Cup. I wasn't quite as specific as Rob. So, I'll definitely take points, but not as many. Third highest goal scorer to be Jeff Schlupp, which was inaccurate. He managed three. Four, which put him equal fifth with Christian Benteke, just behind Mateta and Edouard. So that was not ideal. And I also said Jezrak Saki would score 5+ senior goals across all competitions. So that one's a hard fail there as well. Raj has said Palace would be taken over by rich foreigners, which just feeds very nicely off Rob's ugly point, but fortunately did not happen. Shawnee Rob said no chance of an Adelaide meetup, so tick there. Paul Shelley can post 10,000 inappropriate WhatsApp posts, so another tick there. But his big miss was he had Vieira to be sacked on November 7th after a loss to Wolves. I believe we beat Wolves.
We did 2-0. Best performance of the season up to that point.
Yes. So I would suggest that's about as wrong as you could possibly be. Tony King, Lucien Favre to be our manager at the end of the season. Nope.
I'm pretty sure they all agreed with that as well.
Potentially. And final predictions, we had James Howland, who didn't do particularly well. He had Eze'd have no impact, but scored 2 worldies at the end of the season. He didn't really have much of an impact and was okay at the end of the season. Elise to be hot and cold. Dale to say he's better than Zaha before Christmas and then backtrack afterwards to say that he meant he was potentially better than Zaha. That may have happened, actually, so I will allow that one. Brighton to go down, unfortunately not. And Nathan Ferguson to finally debut in March. Well, he got the month wrong, but he did get on the pitch. Which is good. And our final prediction, which obviously was not even a prediction, it was just a happy award, just came from Marky Mark, and it was Little Aussie Butler Award to go to Joel Ward.
And, of course.
Obviously. Joel Ward Award for Little Aussie Battlers.
Which is, truly being rebadged.
Yeah.
Can we make a Joel Ward Award and get it to Joel Ward?
I was going
to
say, surely we can get a player meet with Joel Ward, and we'll have Mark and Joel, Mark giving the Little Aussie Battle Joel Ward Award to Joel Ward, and we can play Joel Ward all the love, clip it up and be like, absolutely. We've done all the shows, this is him constantly, bang, bang, bang.
That can absolutely be arranged.
Joel, can we just have 97 minutes of your time, please? It's good. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll try and get 2 final. Get my bloody flag done. I'll get a trophy on the side. That as well for the Battle of Joel Ward Award. Perfect.
Fantastic. And that's our predictions. I don't think we sounded as stupid as we did last year, which is quite upsetting.
No. I think I take this.
I think you got the word.
Got the wooden spoon.
Yeah, maybe explain it. It's not a good gag. Not a good visual audio gag. This is it.
Unfortunately, we're not live anywhere. So, on like YouTube or something, where they could see. But very good, Dale. The wooden spoon was good.
Yeah. Appreciate it, mate.
Yeah. All right. I'll throw one in. What was the worst miss of the season? Worst miss.
It's already been mentioned 3 times, hasn't it?
Nah, not even close.
The worst miss, as in a footballing aspect on the pitch, or just a trick the club missed, or
not even close. Worst his penalty. It was Jean-Philippe Mateta against Watford in the cup when he headed over from about an inch.
Oh, I've already forgotten it.
Look it up. It's the worst miss of the season by a country mile, closely followed by Jordan Ayew against Brighton.
Recall that. Wasn't there a scenario like that? Was it Bakary Saka or something in that Newcastle game where a corner right at stumped and he's on the goal line and fluffed his header?
If you say so.
Right.
We'll believe you, Mark. We'll believe you.
Yeah. Right. Long time ago.
Question without notice, have we done goal of the season? Or was that where you're getting to?
No, we haven't done goal of the season. Let's do goal of the season. Goal of the season. Go on. Well, you got Ned. What's your goal of the season?
Conor Gallagher against Brighton when we turned into 2012 Barcelona for a solid 30 to 40 seconds with the Emsworth Cafu, Joel Ward absolutely flying up the wing and tearing them to shreds. Every player getting a touch. Best goal we've scored.
Goal of the season?
Conor Gallagher, Everton.
Mark, goal of the season?
I can only just go with the one that I think Nedry meant. Everyone touched the ball and we scored that one.
Yep.
That one? Yep. That's it.
And mine too. What a goal that was. That was unbelievable.
I don't think it even got nominated for a goal. Did it even get nominated for the goal of the season?
No.
For Pals?
No.
Yes.
Oh, it was nominated. Wilf won it though. It was Wilf's goal against Norwich that won it. Wasn't
Norwich,
it?
Yeah. That was which was a fair strike. That was individual.
Mm. No, there were others. I just can't recall, mate. I'm usually fairly drunk and it's like fucking 3 a.m. or something by the
that's
time.
That's why you do what I do, Mark. Don't watch it. You wake up in the morning, watch it with your Weet-Bix. Mm. Perfect.
Where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in that?
Plastic.
That's a fucking lootly. Fucking lootly.
Appreciate your honesty and hosting.
All right, well, look, that's it, I think. That's our season review, the Exiled Eagle season review. Don't worry, everyone. We will be back in July in Melbourne when Palace are in Australia. So just reiterating to anyone that's coming over, going down, going to be involved, get on the Facebook page. For the national meetup, everything will be put in there. There is events being planned. We do hope to have a meet and greet with the players on the Monday. There's an open training session on the Monday. And if you don't have a ticket, let us know and we should be able to do something for you guys if you don't have a ticket. All that's left for me to say is Mark, Ned, Dale, thank you very much for the season. It's been great fun. And I shall see you all in about a month or so.
Yeah, 6 weeks' time, mate.
Absolutely.
Game on.
Fantastic.
I'm going to die. Goodbye.
They'll go die up the Palace.
They might get better.
No. Hey, my football team won its first game in the year yesterday. How about that?
Your mob?
Yeah.
Over 35 or something?
Yes. The Barnstone Worths, over 35, C South. Fantastic.
Did you miss the game?
Bollocks, did I miss the game? Rorting right back.
Did the pink socks make an appearance?
No, the pink socks. I have to wear red socks. I'm trying to wash them out so they can be pink. Rorting right back. Beat the King Kumbaroos. Fuck that. My body can't do that anymore. Jesus. I watched the hits some of these assholes take. I'm like, nope. Not for me anymore. No, it hurts watching it.